You're listening to SBS News.
Throughout 2019, global protests for climate action involved millions worldwide, with children taking time from school to make their voices heard. In Australia, tens of thousands of people protested against what they saw as the government's lack of action on climate change. There were also simultaneous protests from New Zealand to Europe, Asia, North America, South America and Africa. Organisers of various global protests said millions of people from around 125 countries had taken part, buoyed by Swedish climate change activist Greta Thunberg.
But we young people have had enough. We say no more. And if our parents won't speak up for us, then we will.
Elsewhere in the world, people were loudly and visibly expressing their dissatisfaction with their governments. The year began with police and military in Zimbabwe launching a massive crackdown in January on protesters frustrated by food and fuel shortages in the impoverished country. Rights groups say at least 17 people were killed and hundreds were arrested. There were initially hopes President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who took over from the long-ruling former President Robert Mugabe after a November 2017 coup, would revive the economy. But in a worsening economic environment, that's been a slow process. In Venezuela, the start of the year saw tens of thousands of people take to the streets in protest against President Nicolas Maduro. Mr. Maduro was inaugurated on January the 10th to a second term in office following a widely boycotted election in 2018 that many foreign governments described as fraudulent. In front of supporters in the nation's capital, Caracas, opposition leader Juan Guaido declared himself the acting president.
I swear to assume all the powers of the national executive as the interim president of Venezuela, to secure an end to a treasonous government and to have free elections. If it is to be, let God and country reward us, and if not, let God and country demand it.
Many Venezuelans blame Mr. Maduro for the country's economic turmoil, marked by hyperinflation and food and medicine shortages, forcing 3 million Venezuelans to flee abroad over the past 5 years. Mr. Maduro told supporters at a counter rally he was breaking diplomatic ties with the United States over its support of Mr. Guaido.
That is why I am announcing to the free people and countries of the world that as the constitutional president, head of state, head of government, in fulfilling my duties, to which I swore before the people to respect and have respected the independence, sovereignty and the peace of the Republic, I have decided to break diplomatic and political relations with the imperialist government of the United States.
By year's end, President Maduro was accused of jailing opponents and had barred overseas travel by Mr. Guaido, who in April led an unsuccessful military mutiny. In April, protests in Algeria culminated in the resignation of President Abdelaziz Bouteflika. Unrest began after the president announced he would seek a fifth term in office despite his ailing health, but ultimately his resignation was welcomed with celebrations in the capital, Algiers.
I went out to celebrate the resignation of Bouteflika. We have removed the biggest pin. God willing, we will have a 100% democratic transition. This is very important. We need to remove the whole previous regime, and this is the hardest thing.
16 weeks of street protests in Sudan proved one hurdle too many for President Omar al-Bashir, with the military taking the man who had ruled Sudan since 1989 into custody after an internal revolt. Since then, Sudan entered a 2-year period of military rule to be followed by elections. Amal el-Tayyib, a Sudanese-American activist, said military rule was just more of the same for the people of Sudan.
It's just like a flipping a coin on the other side. So this is not what we are looking up for. This is not what we demonstrated or what the people demonstrated for and died for.
In June, a night of mass demonstrations in Hong Kong marked the beginning of many more to come in the territory. People had initially gathered to rally against legislation the government was planning to introduce, which would allow people to be extradited to mainland China to face criminal charges. The bill was suspended in a bid to defuse the crisis and ultimately withdrawn altogether. But mass protests have continued, with protesters now turning their attention to concerns China is stamping out the city's liberties.
Hong Kong is the forefront of the battle against the totalitarian regime of China. And this is the forefront of the free world. Please support us. Please support us in our fight.
The protesters' remaining demands are for the protests not to be characterised as a riot, amnesty for arrested protesters, an independent inquiry into allegations of police brutality, and the implementation of complete universal suffrage. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam finally promised to form an independent review committee to look at the underlying causes of the ongoing unrest.
It has been some time ago that I announced that we would invite a group of community leaders and academia and experts to independently look into the causes of this prolonged social unrest, including the underlying deep-seated problems that have been bothering Hong Kong.
In August, Indonesia's easternmost provinces of Papua and West Papua, collectively known as Papua, were rocked by demonstrations over perceived ethnic and racial discrimination. Indonesia has encouraged Indonesians to migrate to the provinces, but Papuans say Indonesia has imposed policies that support those migrants over indigenous people. Indonesia's Security Minister Wiranto said police had banned demonstrations and speeches promoting separatism in Papua. The exile West Papuan independence leader Benny Wender called on the United Nations to condemn Indonesia's recent actions against pro-independence protesters, which resulted in the deaths of more than 30 people.
I don't want this to happen like East Timor before too late. And I want to inform that I really need the Pacific leader to recall again to the United Nations High Commissioner to visit West Papua before too late.
In October, mass anti-government demonstrations erupted in Lebanon, spreading beyond the capital Beirut after the government proposed new taxes as part of strict austerity measures. Lebanon has been grappling with their worst economic conditions in decades, and the mass protests saw Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri resign on October the 29th, leaving the nation without a government. Meanwhile, in Iraq, mass protests there saw the resignation of Prime Minister Adel Abdel Mahdi after 2 months of violent unrest that's killed more than 420 people. The protest movement is Iraq's biggest since the US-led invasion of 2003 toppled Saddam Hussein and installed a democratic system in the oil-rich but poverty-plagued nation. While Mr. Abdel Mahdi stays on initially to lead a caretaker government, President Barham Saleh will now be asked to name a successor to face the challenge of resolving the political chaos. In neighbouring Iran, anti-government protests over high fuel prices rattled the country, with the United Nations saying dozens of people may have been killed since unrest began on November the 15th. Spokesman for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Rupert Colville, described the situation as serious.
We're deeply concerned by reported violations of international norms and standards on the use of force, including the firing of live ammunition against demonstrators in Iran during the protests that began on Friday and have continued into this week. We're especially alarmed that the use of live ammunition has allegedly caused a significant number of deaths.
Iran's economy has been battered since May last year when the United States unilaterally withdrew from a 2015 nuclear agreement and reimposed crippling sanctions. And in South America, Chileans have been expressing their discontent against social and economic inequality. The anger in the streets only eased after an agreement by Congress was made in November to draft a new constitution. That was just one of many popular uprisings in that region, with governments of Ecuador, Bolivia and Haiti driving people to the streets demanding change. This man took part in protests in Bolivia that saw the resignation of President Evo Morales over allegations of election fraud.
The position must now be more firm. No one will now give up. The government must reflect on that and stop Bolivians from fighting each other.
And in Europe, thousands of protesters marched through the streets of Barcelona to protest the imprisonment of 9 regional leaders who led a bid for Catalonia's independence from Spain in 2017. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.